previously on Corporate Homie.
What is a rock star homie?
You don't want to be the person that's aha in your client.
Rock stars and superstars crew free.
You can clap back if you want to, you're going to be unemployed.
Keep a calendar.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Becoming the Ritz Carlton of your field.
You have to create a criteria for behavior.
Make it as easy for the client as possible.
You are in the customer service business.
It's not about you, it's about the client. Hey homies, welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo woo.
I said a woo woo.
No. The whooping is my ministry. My whoop is like the original power theme song. They say this is a big rich town. I just come from the poet's part. Your whoop.
Oh, that's wrong.
It's like the Trey Songz power intro. They say this is a big rich town.
Really? That's just lucky. I mean, that is just lucky.
So this week's episode, we're going to talk about Gold Star service, Gold Star performance.
Right. And not trying to be right, having happy clients.
Having happy clients that feel like they got amazing service from you, their architect, their lawyer, their CPA, their business owner, their teacher, whatever you guys do as homies. Basically becoming what? The Ritz Carlton of your field.
Right. Or for other homies, maybe the Chick-fil-A of your field. Because, you know, I mean, not that I go to Chick-fil-A now, but when I used to go to Chick-fil-A back in the day before
you were enlightened.
I knew it was Hey Chicken. Right before I knew it was Hey Chicken, I knew that they would stand outside in the heat, call you by your name, 16-year-old kids saying, please, thank you, ma'am, all that good stuff.
Correct. And what we're going to talk about is how you can run your practice, run your business, run your job, your career, where your clients, whether they be internal, external, feel like they're getting the Ritz-Carlton 5-star gold experience from you.
Yes. So my first thing about this, you know, you want your clients to be happy and you're not necessarily right, is that it all starts with communications. Like, it all starts with your communication. So you should think for yourself, for your team, that you are going to create communication standards. So you want every interaction with you and your team to be warm and sincere. Another thing I think you pointed out even just in the intro, use people's names. Just spell people's names correctly. All that kind of stuff. So create sort of a communication protocol for yourself and for people who work with you.
So when we're discussing the communication standards, that does mean, like you said, using people's names, making sure you're spelling them, you know, correctly. There's nothing more annoying than somebody mispronouncing my name consistently throughout the meeting. And, you know, most of the time I have on a name tag so that they can see my name. If I don't have on a name tag, I always pass my card out. And then because it puts you in a situation where you have to correct the person and you look like a jerk.
Right. So you make sure that, like, everyone who works on your team understands that we care about people's names. We're going to use correct names with each other and with the people that we do business with.
Right. And I always encourage the folks on my team to not use nicknames, to address people the way they dress themselves. So you can't decide to call somebody Kim who introduced themselves as Kimberly.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
And people do that, and it's rude. They get very familiar. What they think they're being is like familiar, but what they're actually being is disrespectful.
Right.
All right, my next tip is it's not about you, it's about the clients. You have to put the clients first. And so Everything that you do, every culture that you have to do has to be with the client in mind. And what we do is we remind ourselves, especially when we get ridiculous requests, that like, we're not asking this. I was telling my assistant, I'm not asking you this. The client is asking this of us. I'm not asking you this. The client is requesting this. They're the ones are the reason why we have to be here at 7:30 in the morning for, you know, what have you. So if you put the clients first, then it's not about you. Then you're not always going out your way to nitpick or tell them, show them how they're right, or show them how they're wrong, or they missed it, they didn't carry the eye, because you want them to leave with a good experience. So it's about them. It's not about you.
Which is a, you know, great point. I love that book by Ryan Holiday when he says ego is the enemy, because a lot of times when you aren't thinking about the client first, you start thinking about yourself. So you start thinking, I don't want to come in at 7:30, or I don't want to be on a 9:30 p.m. call, instead of thinking about what does the client need? What does the team need? How do we get a, you know, a win for this matter, for this engagement, for this credit? And if, I think you're exactly right. When you think of it like that, then I think it even keeps you from being upset, because you know it's not, like you said, not really about you. That's a really, really good point. I think that you have to basically taking those two things, your communication standards, understanding that the client is first, and making sure that everyone on the team understands that that's the goal. And so right. making sure that, like, I know I try to do that. When you work on Demetrius teams, on Demetrius Matters, you know, we're going to use people's names. We're going to spell their names correctly. We're going to put the client first. And so I really make sure that everybody understands that. And I'm not so much looking for agreement, and I'm very clear about this, as I'm looking for consistent behavior. So you don't have to necessarily agree that this is the way it should be done. But what we want is, no matter if the person is interacting with, you know, me or Bimitra, or my assistant, or my associate, or the receptionist, that they get the same behavior. And I think that's the thing that the Ritz-Carlton does really well, is the person at the door who greets you treats you just like the bellman taking your bags, treats you just like the person. Like, they have a consistent behavior that keeps going throughout your stay there, so it flows through.
So it creates a consistent culture, regardless of who you're dealing with, a culture.
Right, and they don't have to buy into it. They just need to behave as though they buy into it. The behavior is what we're trying to be work on consistency with.
Right. My next tip is make it as easy for the client as possible. If there is something, a form, that you have the information to fill it out for them, and then email it to them and say, can you review this and make sure everything is accurate? We took the liberty of going ahead and filling this out. All you have to do is review it and sign it. People like to do business with people that they feel like it makes it easy for them. We will say, oh, we need to get proof of your insurance. If you like, we can reach out to your insurance agent directly. So that's something that you don't have to do. So making things easy for the client, I think, elevates the experience and makes it a 5-star experience. So if there's anything that you can do for them, you and your team do that for them.
You know, that's a really great point, because I remember once I had a list of things I wanted to, put out in an exhibit board or something, and I had handwritten them all out sitting on the on the train. And so I wrote out this handwritten list of, like, here are all the things that we need, and I emailed it to someone. You know, I scanned it and then emailed it, and they basically said, you need to type this up and then give it back to me. And I remember thinking, that's exactly how I felt, like, wow, you know, you and I are supposed to be working together, and you're the person who will have to type it at any point anyway to get it on the exhibit, but you want me to type it first. And even though, and so what I remember about the person and the experience is that they made it hard for me. So they made it hard. And it wasn't really about the typing. I just thought, like, they're making it very difficult for me, and it didn't have to be that way. They could have had their assistant type it, had moved it, like, made it easier for me. And that's somebody.
And then that makes you not want to work with them in the future, because you're like, oh, work with them is going to be taxing.
Yes. I think that one of the reasons why, you know, the Ritz-Carlton of service is, you have, like I said, we talked about behavior. You have to create a criteria for behavior. So to me, that and you have to get down as granular and detailed as possible. So if you think, you know, if you're, like I said, if you're at Chick-fil-A or you're at Ritz-Carlton, you know that person is going to say, good afternoon and welcome to Chick-fil-A. They're going to say that in some shape, form, or fashion. It's not a script, but they're going to greet you. So you have to do the same thing on your team. You have to say, hey, on when you're working on the such and such matters, I want all emails responded to within a day. I don't want anyone who works with us who doesn't respond. I want all my emails responded to within 2 days. Whatever your criteria is, that way you don't have conversations like the client said we were unresponsive. Because you know everybody on your team is responding to emails within 2 business days or within a business day. And then you can then, you know, keep the client happy, or we return all phone calls on the same day. And if you can't return a phone call, and I really learned that because when I was a very young lawyer, I went to a conference and there was a client who was talking about how he had followed this same lawyer to 4 different law firms. And I thought that would be annoying that he keeps changing firms. So we were having cocktails that evening and I asked him, like, why do you keep moving firms? And it was nothing about the legal practice. It was all about his client service. He was like, because when I call him, he always calls me back. When I email him, and if he doesn't, he has somebody on his team reach out. And it made me think of like the Ritz-Carlton. Like, this is not even so much about the brief, is about how he makes the client feel about working with him.
Right. And I think anytime that you can do go above and beyond, you know, clients will follow you, right? So if you are the person who responds in a timely manner, even without the answer that says, hey, haven't forgotten about you, still chasing that down, hope to have something for you tomorrow by 10 o'clock or what have you, or you're the person who will get up at 7:30 in the morning and meet them at their office before they start surgery so that you can get paperwork signed instead of making them come to you at 6 o'clock in the evening after they've done search. People like to do business with people who they feel like are going above and beyond and executing, as one of my clients said, with military precision. Right. Mm. So like that, I definitely think that you want that. The other thing I think that the Ritz-Carlton, one of the reasons why it works is, you know, within your organization, you have to have incentives that match the desired behavior. So I read this great article when I was in business school that said, on the folly of rewarding A, we're hoping for behavior B. And what we found out is that people do what they're incented to do and not really much more. So you have to make, so I realized this even before I became a manager. You know, I would say to my assistant, if you can get this done for me, I'll let you leave at 3 o'clock on Friday. You know,
and all of a sudden we had, this is a priority.
Because that's what was important to her, was to be away, like time off. That, you know,
right, to not be at work,
right? And for some people that's a Starbucks gift card. For some people that is a proper thank you. Like, you have to figure out what that incentive is that people's get. Some people are rewarded by money, recognition, you know, time off. But you have to make sure that what you're asking people to do rewards it. So it's no good for somebody to say to me, you know, hey, if you do this, that's going to give you a $5 Starbucks gift card. I don't care about that. I don't even drink coffee, right? Like, I don't, that doesn't mean anything. But if somebody said you get a free vacation day that you don't have to put in the system, now you got my attention.
Now you're talking, which I would think is valued a little bit more than a gift card, but I hear you. Yeah. Like, you're right. Like, now you're speaking my language, right? But it's almost like the love language book where you figure out, you know, how you want to incentivize behavior. But I agree, what is rewarded is usually the behavior that you get. And so when you ask people to go and be above and beyond, and like you said, and respond to emails within a day, or you know, return phone calls within the same, you know, morning or same afternoon, and they don't really see anything in it for them, they don't necessarily match your intensity for doing so. But like you said, you're like, if we can get all of our inboxes down, you know, like you said, and I want to say this, an incentive is not a group activity for everybody to do together. I'm always like, a day out of the office is not all of us going together to do a team thing. That's still work.
That's work.
Like, as far as it might be better work than what I normally do, but I still count that as work. I don't count that as,
Yay.
You know, no. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so we're working at the bowling alley today instead of the office. I'm still with y'all. My last tip, it was just really understanding that, and we talk about this all the time, no matter what your job is, whether you run a department, you make loans, you're an architect, you know, you draw up plans, you are in the customer service business. Whether you are an IT person or a website designer or a podcast producer, whoever you are, you're actually in the customer service business. And how you provide that service to people is your brand. And that changes who your clients recommend you to. That changes internally. Like I said, when your boss is your brand, when they're in a meeting, as we often say, all decisions are made when you're not in the room and someone says, I am so busy. And someone says, oh, you know, Jonathan has a lot of capacity. And then they think, well, is he good to work with? And then people are like, well, I don't know. When I worked with Jonathan, it was really hard to get him to respond to emails. That's, you know, that's not a customer service brand. So you're, all of that is your brand. And that is going to impact how you are going to be able to keep your clients happy.
That's such a good point. I think there's that old analogy or saying rather that says, you know, people don't remember like what you did for them, but they do remember how you make them feel. And so you can be the smartest, you know, most creative attorney, but if you talk to people crazy, people are not going to want to work with you because you're not making them feel.
Yeah, or you ignore them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
And that's how people, I think that people don't get that. That's how people feel when their emails are not returned. They feel ignored. They're like, hey, hello, did you get it? That's how they feel when their phone calls are returned. They feel ignored. And so that's like you said, it's not so much about the email as much as the feeling they had. I think you're absolutely right.
Right. So we just wanted to do a quick little episode to talk about, you know, we've talked about being a rock star homie before. We've talked about managing your brand, but we want to talk about that gold star experience, that Ritz-Carlton experience. We'd love to hear your thoughts, homies. Who's your version of the Ritz-Carlton? Who's your version of Chick-fil-A? It might be your dealership. It might be your hair salon. Love to hear from you guys. You know, drop us a comment and let us know what you think.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking about this. We started talking about this. We're trying to get our ratings up. Please drop us a 5-star review. Also, let us know if you have a topic that you want covered. You can reach us on the DMs on social media or shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com if you desire us to come out and speak at your organizations. That email is info@corporatehomie.com.
And remember, you can find us on all of the social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all Corporate Homie, HOMIE. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies. The All of You Get You a Twin. Get you another homie.